The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
You don't want it. You don't need it. But you're going to get it anyway. The Kevin Sheehan Show. Here's Kevin.
Tommy's here. I am here. This from Jay Teal via the Apple Podcast review capability. Give us 5 stars. Write us a quick one-sentence review like Jay Teal has. He writes, I'm a Commanders fan, and I love the conversation about the Commanders, but I love when Kevin has conversations about the Wizards. Please more. I don't think we've gotten that before. That may be the first request for more Wizards talk in the history of this podcast. We get the occasional request for more Terps talk, you know, which I understand. And I went to the Maryland basketball game last night. But the Wizards, yeah, I love them. You know I love them. But I'm not even paying attention to them this year. It's painful. Even though that Bilal Koulibaly looks pretty good.
Yes, he does. He looks very good so far.
I mean, they give up like 135 every night.
Do you know that GQ magazine wrote a story that said Jordan Poole is exactly what the NBA needs because the NBA needs more fun?
They really did.
Jordan Poole is exactly what the NBA needs right now. And the point in the story is the NBA needs more fun. I think Wizards fans would tell you they've had enough of that kind of fun. They're overflowing with that kind of fun. You know, Andre Blotch grabbing the microphone, Gilbert pooping in his teammates' shoes. They've had fun.
That's a long time ago now. I don't.
Well, they don't need any more fun.
What's fun about Jordan Poole? That he just kind of dribbles down
and goofy.
And he takes goofy shots?
Yeah, that's it. But he's goofy. He's unserious.
Yeah. Well,
I can't believe how bad of a magazine GQ has become. It used to be one of the standards.
It did? I mean, I can
remember. Oh, God, yeah. GQ,
I can remember reading lots of stories in GQ. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is pretty bad. They got interns running garbage like this.
The Washington Wizards are now officially the worst defense in the NBA, allowing 125.4 points per game. They also allow teams to shoot 50.4%. That's a league worst against them. I mean, it's like every night somebody's going for 130-something points. Last night, now, I didn't watch the game, and I really don't watch Wizards games this year. I mean, it's the first year I've just not even paid attention. But last night, Joel Embiid went for 50 against the Wizards in a 131-126 win.
It's standard operating procedure against the Wizards. Look, I watched more from them this year already than I probably have all of last year.
Why?
Just because I'm real curious about the kid, the rookie from France.
Yeah.
And I'm still excited about that guy. He interests me.
Yeah, he interests me too. And but you're the go-to now for this podcast on Wizards Talk. So go ahead. Tell us about Bilal Koulibaly.
Well, I'm not going to talk about that too much. Okay. I mean, he's got he's got, seems to have tremendous court presence, good defense. He's a great shot blocker. Doesn't seem too overwhelmed by the moment. I mean, that's what this scout who told me that the Wizards might be good, so God only knows what he's talking about. He told me that when they interviewed this kid, his composure blew them away. He was the biggest presence in the room, and not in an obnoxious way, but in a self-assured way.
Wow.
So that's something to be positive about. You know, this front office, the new front office, Winger, and I don't even know the name of the GM, Elliot or something like that.
That's close enough.
Okay. But, you know, they may be geniuses, because when they signed Kuzma to a contract and then they traded for Poole, everyone thought, well, wait a minute, they're supposed to be tanking.
Yeah.
You know? They're not going to tank with these guys. They're going to be a little bit competitive. This isn't what we want. We want bottom feed, tanking. And we thought they were sabotaging that. It turns out they may be brilliant. This may be the best tank anyone could have hoped for.
Yeah, this is a pretty good tank job. I mean, you know, they're right there with the Pistons right now. So Embiid had 50 last night. The last time they played the Wizards, he had 48. He's averaging.
I know, that's what I said.
He's averaging 49, but the last game, and I wanted to pull it up just to make sure I was right about this. The last game when he went for 48, he had in the third quarter against the Wizards, he was a perfect 10 for 10 from the floor and 9 for 9 from the free throw line. He did not miss a shot in that game.
That means nobody guarded him.
So last night I went to the Maryland game. I'll talk about that here in a moment for you Terp fans. But when I got home, I flipped on, and you know I can stay up late, you know, more often than I used to because of my schedule, which isn't so new anymore. It's 6 months in the making, I guess. But I turned on the Clippers against the Nuggets because I love Nikola Jokic, love to watch Jokic play. And I really like the Clippers because Kawhi Leonard's one of my favorite players in all of sports. And, you know, they recently added, you know, James Harden in a trade, and it did not start off well at all. But I bet the Clippers last night getting a point and a half at home against Denver because everybody was on Denver last night. And being at the Maryland game with Harley from Window Nation and his friend David, we had a great time last night. I threw out that I liked the Clippers, and Harley, who I love Harley dearly, but he immediately said, well, no, it's got to be the Nuggets, which made me really decide I was going to play the Clippers last night. No, Harley's actually a pretty sharp bettor, but he's like, really? And I'm like, yeah, it just seems like everybody loves Denver. Nobody understands that the Clippers have actually started to play better recently. I actually follow them a little bit, and Denver as well. And the Clippers won. They won outright 111-102. They've actually now won, I think, 7 out of their last 10 games. They're back to 500. And who knows? Maybe this Harden thing, you know, where he's not the guy or he's not the number two guy even, because really Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are the two players on that team. Maybe they'll end up being a championship contender. I'll tell you one thing. They play really good defense.
Well, I can understand. I can understand why you would have an affinity towards the Clippers, because Kawhi Leonard is one of your greatest moments.
I know. We don't have to go down.
You were on top of the Wizards drafting him that year. I mean, wait, several times before Ernie pulled the trigger on who was it they drafted that year?
Jan Vesely.
Oh, Jesus. I mean, really, you should. That's worthy of Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Prediction.
You've given me.
I mean, I'm still this impressed
is the,
by it.
This is one of the only, you know, things that I've gotten right that you remember, and I'm glad that you remember that. But you remember that because over the years, I have rooted for Kawhi Leonard, and when they won the title in Toronto, it was really one of the great postseasons by any player we've seen. It was a literal strap the team to his back situation. Now, they played the Warriors in those finals, and Durant got hurt. You know, the rest is history. But, you know, a lot of people, like Legler has always said to me, Kawhi Leonard seems to be the opposite of the kind of player you would like. He's a load management guy. He's quirky. He's not always viewed as the best of teammates. It's true. It is true that he is a different cat altogether. But when he's healthy, I think he is so much fun to watch on both ends. Like, I think you could make the case he's been the best two-way player of the last 10 years in the NBA.
I think you could.
You could certainly make that case. But anyway, I stayed up and I watched the end of this game, and then SportsCenter came on. And actually, Legler was on with Scott last night, and I watched it for a while. And I haven't talked to Scott about this, even though I actually talked to him last night after the Maryland game, but he and Legler were going off on how exciting this in-season NBA tournament has become. And Scott actually made the comment, who knew? I didn't see it coming. I didn't get it. But this thing has just been captivating, I think is what he said. I haven't talked to him today about this. But apparently...
Well, the numbers are bearing it out.
I know. Yeah. I can't believe this. The ratings are up.
Attendance is up.
The players are playing these games with great and almost playoff-like intensity. I am shocked.
I didn't see that coming. Of course, the Wizards miss all of
it. They were over.
Another era. Yeah. Another promotion, another NBA chapter that they're left out of.
It doesn't even require like 82 games to prove yourself. It's just get lucky for a couple of group round plays. But yeah, I mean, the controversy of the Lakers-Suns ending the other night was a big sports story. Now, you know, we know our audience enough to know that we should probably stop talking about this right now. But they do have the ability, and you do, to fast forward ahead, clearly. But Friday night, you get the two semifinal games. I think it's Friday night. Is it Friday night you get to choose? See, I don't even know now. I think you get.
I don't know. Well, let me ask you a question then about that.
Yeah. Is it Thursday night?
Let's say tonight.
Tonight is the semifinals.
Tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say a team wins the champion, this in-tournament title.
In-season tournament thing. It's very soccer.
Whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you hang a banner?
No, but there's apparently a huge trophy involved.
I know there's a trophy, but you could stick the trophy like they did at the Capitol Center.
Yeah,
years ago it was revealed they stuck the Wizards championship, the Bulls championship trophy in a closet. You know, you can do that with a trophy, but a banner everyone will see. Would you hang a banner if you won this in-season tournament?
You mean like if I were the owner of the team, would I say let's hang a banner for this? No.
Yes.
No, I would not.
Neither would I.
Yeah.
Neither would I.
I mean, it's not – the NBA was right about this, okay? I give them all the credit in the world because
– anything to get people interested – in the NBA in November and December.
And they
is good.
And they apparently have pulled it off. And you've got the two semifinal games tonight, Pacers, Bucks, Pelicans, Lakers, and then the championship game is in Las Vegas on Saturday night on ABC. And there's no football that night. There's the Heisman Trophy ceremony, which will be over. Army-Navy's played during the day. It's the one Saturday night starting from Labor Day weekend on that there is no football. And
you see, this is one of the things that the NBA does good. They're willing to experiment, you know?
Yeah.
They're willing to try new things. And the NFL, they don't have to. Plus, they're generally more conservative. So they're going to say, well, let somebody else try it. They will see if we're interested or not. But the NBA is willing to try certain things. I mean, I think their product still stinks, but I think this is an idea that has worked and they deserve credit for it.
I think it's a distraction watching these games on these paint, on these floors, though. You know, these colored, painted, these.
I think they could do away with that. I think that'll disappear.
I don't know. I think people like it.
I don't think so.
I think it's a distinguishing mark of a tournament game versus another game. You know, I was just thinking about this. They get another break tonight with these semifinal games. By the way, the first one's at 5 o'clock on ESPN. 5 o'clock. Pacers against the Bucks. Pacers are a very surprising team this year. Is that the NFL game on tonight is probably the worst of the year. New England and Pittsburgh on Amazon.
That's saying something.
What do you mean?
Because two coaches that may be out of work that might be in Washington next year, one of them.
One of them could be.
Bill Belichick or Mike Tomlin.
At the end of the show the other day, you got me to think about Kevin Colbert and the tie with Pittsburgh and Tomlin. I still would not bet on it. But, so they get that benefit too. I don't think I'm going to watch. Well, actually, you know what? I'm going to watch some of this tonight. I was up watching the Clippers and Nuggets last night. These are the only two NBA games on tonight. The football game stinks. I'm going to pay attention to this. Milwaukee's a 5.5-point favorite over the Pacers. Milwaukee's fun to watch with Giannis and now Lillard. The Pacers are fun to watch. If you haven't seen Tyrese Halliburton play, he is spectacular. And then the Pelicans are healthy, and they beat the Kings the other night. And you've got, you know, Zion Williamson along with Brandon Ingram, and I forget who else is on that team now. But I might watch some of those games. I might watch some of them. I'll probably turn it to the football because did you know, Tom, that tonight's Patriots-Steelers game has a chance, as of now, to go off as the lowest over-under total game in the history of the NFL since they started to keep track of this. The game right now is, the total is 30. The last time a game was 30 in a regular season game, December 26th, 1993, Colts at Patriots, temperatures near zero with 30-mile-an-hour winds. So that's why that game had a total that low. There's no weather issues in Pittsburgh tonight. This is just about how these two teams can't score. There was a game in the playoffs in 2006, the Panthers and the Bears, that had a total of 30 as well. But this one, there are some spots where the game is at 29.5. Now, I've talked about this, not necessarily with you, Tommy, this year, but Iowa in college football had some of the lowest totals we've ever seen in football games, period.
Yeah, I've read about that.
Yeah, they had a game there towards the end that was 26 or 27 or whatever. I'm telling you right now, God, I have no smell test pick for tonight. Although I like the Patriots, but I can't put you people through the Patriots again. I've given them out 3 straight weeks, and they've lost all of them. I had them in Germany against Indy getting 2.5 or 3, and they lost 10-6. I had them laying the 3.5 against the Giants. They lost 10-7. And I had them last week plus the 5.5 smell test. That line went to plus 4.5. I actually, believe it or not, I don't think I said this on Monday, I got it at plus 6. I looked at it on Friday. It was at 6 briefly, and I'm like, I'm going to play it right now because I thought it might come down. And they lost 6-0. So I actually pushed, but smell test-wise, it was a loss. And I like New England again tonight, but I'll tell you what. I'm guessing that the publicity associated with this total will actually have the public betting the under. I bet you that there are public bettors that are saying, oh, my God, have you seen the total? This thing's going to be 6-0. This is going to be 7-6, 10-7. I just convinced – I'm playing the over tonight. I'm playing the over tonight.
And but you're not giving it out.
I'm not giving it out because I don't actually have – I'd have to actually ask for where the public is lined up now. I'll tell you what, if I get information that my gut feel that the public is on the under, I will try to either give it at the end of this podcast or tweet it out at Kevin Sheehan, D.C. I do like New England, but that's not an official smell test pick. But so the NBA play-in tournament has really kind of hit it well here. You know, there are two semifinal games up against the worst Thursday night game of the year. The Saturday night, the situation, they had that figured out. They knew there was no game on Thursday night. And, you know, moving forward, moving forward, the college football playoff won't be this coming Saturday either. So this will be the spot for the in-season tournament championship game in Las Vegas, home of the Super Bowl
Excellent.
This year. Yeah.
You want me to tell you what I did last night?
Was it Christmas related? Because you're really into Christmas this year.
No, it wasn't Christmas related, but I'll get to that.
Okay.
Okay. But it'll surprise you. I went to Top Golf in Baltimore.
Really? Oh,
yes,
my God.
I knew it would surprise you.
Oh, my. Hold on. I mean, it would obviously shock me if you said, you know, I actually went out and played golf and took a lesson or something like that. That would have been, you would have heard silence on this end because I would have passed out. But even Top Golf, to me, for you, you would describe it as this is another elitist thing, although it's not, and golf really isn't anymore. But so
well,
tell me about Top Golf. Tell me about your trip to Top Golf.
My son invited my wife and I to come down for a night there. He lives in Baltimore. It's right next to the stadium and the casino. You know, they're trying to have this whole entertainment district down there,
right.
And he lives pretty close to there. So, you know, it was his treat. And I haven't been to a driving range in 20 years. I used to like going to a driving range and whacking balls.
Right.
You know, I've only played golf, actual golf, on a course 3 times. And one of those times I got kicked off in Miami because I was drunk and drove a cart into one of the water things they had there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I like going to the driving range. I like hitting balls. But I haven't done it in 20 years. So, you know, they have all kinds of these cool games and stuff that you can do there and stuff. And that was all fun. And you know, we had food, we had drink. It's a hell of a setup, I have to admit.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a guy in the booth next to us. And I'm hitting them, but I'm not hitting them that hard. They're not going very far because, I mean, you know, I haven't done this in years.
Yeah.
And there's a guy in a booth next to us, an older guy, not as old as me, but he's hitting them like he's like a boulder. I mean, the sound of that ball coming off that club is like deafening.
Mm-hmm.
And that ball is just disappearing into the night.
Right.
And I'm thinking, okay, I gotta whip it
here. Step up your game.
I gotta whip it. I mean, I'm not whipping it. You know, I was hitting it, but I wasn't really whipping it.
Yeah, you got to generate club head speed.
Yes. Well, that's what I wasn't doing.
Right.
So I did,
and
I hurt myself.
I thought you were about to say, and you wouldn't have believed how far I hit it when I started whipping it.
I hurt myself. I did something to my right forearm.
Oh,
I don't know
Jesus
if I pulled a muscle
God.
Or tore something or did something, but I hurt myself.
Well, did you just
I hurt myself at the driving
did
range.
Did you sit down and grab a beer and watch everybody else at that point?
I didn't tell anybody.
Oh, you didn't?
I didn't tell anybody.
Well, so
until I got home and I told my wife.
Oh,
I said, don't tell our son, but I hurt myself.
Oh, Jesus.
On that. No, I just acted like I was fine. But, yeah, that was my attempt to really whack it. And, man, I mean, my arm hurts a lot more today than it did yesterday. So that's my one and done at Top Golf, but it was a lot of fun.
Until
I hurt myself.
I'm surprised that you didn't go to Top Golf with like some antlers on your head, like an antler hat on your head, to continue with your I'm enjoying Christmas this season.
Well, I figured out why I'm enjoying Christmas. I left this out in the last podcast last Friday night for the first time again. Like I guess this is the first time kind of season. I went to Longwood Gardens. Have you ever been there?
Longwood Gardens? No, I don't
think
so.
It's up in Kennett Square, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
It's this beautiful, huge gardens and buildings and stuff with plants and green stuff and Christmas lights everywhere, and it's really festive. So I figured out that's why I'm in the Christmas mood. Because last Friday night, we went up to Longwood Gardens. I know a lot of your listeners have probably been there.
Where is it, Tommy?
It's in Kennett Square, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. It's south of Philly.
Yeah, right.
You know, near Brandywine and that whole area.
Hmm.
And so that's why I'm in the Christmas spirit. And, you know, I know you're in the Christmas spirit because I got a phone call from you the other night about Christmas.
Okay, easy there. Easy. Well, I'll share with you the part that I can share with all of you.
Okay.
I'm outraged by the price of Christmas trees. We're not an artificial tree family, all right? We just have never been an artificial tree family, although I have advocated for it in recent years.
You should.
Look, the Christmas tree experience can be, depending on, you know, the situation, I think a lot of you may be able to relate. It can be very stressful, you know, going to get the tree, picking out the tree, getting the tree into the stand. I mean, just getting the tree into the stand, getting it, you know, situated exactly the way your wife and everybody wants it situated. And then, by the way, you know, that's before you even get to the lights.
The decorating. How many fights have there been over decorating Christmas trees? I'll bet a lot.
A lot.
Yes.
Yes. I think the one thing that I will share with everybody is this was the case last year, too. I can't believe how expensive Christmas trees are. I don't even want to tell you what I paid for my Christmas tree. It's embarrassing. But let me just tell you that when you live, you know, in D.C., when you live in, you know, the immediate Maryland, Virginia suburbs, you know, in D.C., look, they're probably out to get you a little bit, you know, and figuring that, you know, people will be able to afford whatever number they put on the tree. At one point I said, let's just go to Home Goddamn Depot and get a tree. This is ridiculous. Because one year I was walking through Home Depot before we had gotten our Christmas tree. I don't know. This is like 10 years ago. And I called my wife and I'm like, my God, the trees here, they're like $30. And they're really nice trees. And of course, we're not getting a tree from Home Depot. We're getting a tree from one of the places that we always get a tree from. Anyway, the trees, Tommy, there were trees at this particular place. Just, you know, your regular Fraser firs. You know, they've got Douglas firs, all the different firs. We usually get a Fraser fir, all right? And the tree that we usually get is usually around 9 feet. Our ceilings are pretty tall. In the new house, the old house, they were not nearly as tall, so it was more of like an 8 foot tree. The prices, there were trees you could have paid $395 for.
Wow.
The cheapest trees were like $1.25, $1.50. But you know, everything's more expensive, and I actually. It can be fun, although they don't do it anymore. But I said to him, like, I'll just tell you, like, I said, I see the number here on the tag, and I said, I'll give you this, and we'll, you know, and he said, no. He said, if you've got all cash, I'll give you a 10% discount. I didn't have all cash for it. So I ended up paying with a credit card and paying the normal price. But you don't really even have a chance at these places to haggle like you used to. Back in the day, you could act like if you went into a Christmas tree place and you paid the list price, I mean, bless your heart.
Okay, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute here.
What?
A lot of these places are fundraising for organizations.
Some of them, yeah, a lot of them are.
You went into a place like that?
Not like that.
And tried
not to, like that.
To stiff them?
It might have been a place like that. I don't remember.
Okay.
But no, the trees were always marked up, and it used to be a haggle fest, buying a Christmas tree. Not anymore. But anyway, the guy was there, and he was actually the guy that was running this particular Christmas tree place. And I said, are people turning around and walking away? And he said, yeah, some people are, but it's been that way for like 2 or 3 years. I remember it last year. And he said, for the most part, we're just talking about, it's the transportation costs. It's fuel. That drives so much of it here and so much of why we've seen, prices in everything be much higher. But I'm like, good God. This same tree 5 years ago would have been $100, $90, $80, $75. Not anymore. I'll tell you one thing, man. It's much more important now for me to keep that tree alive for at least 3 or 4 weeks longer. We usually get the tree, which we did the other night, right around, like the week after Thanksgiving. We usually get rid of the tree very quickly. We're not a family that keeps the tree up much past New Year's. My wife wants it down, New Year's Day, and I'm like, let's keep it up through New Year's Day. We'll take it down tomorrow. But it's a beautiful tree. It's a beautiful tree. We have not decorated the tree, but it's being watered, and it looks lovely. Lovely for what we paid for. It should have been.
My wife's father, very good man. He was an economics professor at St. Joe's College. Very smart guy. But he was an economics professor, and he watched his money. He wouldn't buy a Christmas tree until Christmas Eve.
Because the prices would drop.
Yeah.
They got to get rid of them.
They got to eat them if they don't sell them Christmas Eve.
Of
They're
course.
No good to anybody.
You could go in there and haggle.
Till Christmas Eve to buy one.
Yeah. Well, that wouldn't work with us. And look, it's a much different thing now. Obviously, we don't have young kids anymore. Everybody does come home for Christmas. And we have a very nice tree. That's whatever. I'm actually reading this. I just pulled something up. Go ahead.
We have like a 12-inch tree on our dining room table. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, no.
That's our Christmas tree this year.
You told us that the other day. It's the first any kind of decoration you've had in a while.
Here's my Christmas tree story about when I grew up in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably repeating myself, which you do when you become my age.
Yeah.
But, you didn't have many real Christmas trees in Brooklyn. Most people had artificial trees because it was in Brooklyn, New York. There's not that many trees around.
Right.
So we had an artificial tree growing up, but once in a while somebody would have a real tree. And then they would put it out on the sidewalk when they were done to be picked up by the garbage men.
Right.
There was no tree recycling back then. Except we used to recycle trees because we used to set them on fire on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Just like the Bowery Boys, we were like the East Side Kids. Or so we used to set Christmas trees on fire and watch them burn.
It's better than what you did to that poor Chinese family. Dry cleaner.
No, I'll forever feel guilty about that.
All right. Well, look. It's only December 7th. A day that will live in infamy. By the way,
live in infamy.
It is December 7th. We have 2 shows next week. 2 shows the following week. We have the 12th and the 14th. We've got the 19th and the 21st. We have 4 more shows after today to talk about Christmas. I used to love Christmas. It used to be my favorite time of year. Obviously, and it's now I love the holiday season, but Thanksgiving's my favorite holiday by far. By far. And
mine is Arbor Day.
You like Arbor Day?
Arbor Day has become my favorite
tree guy.
Holiday.
Yeah. What's your favorite all-time Christmas movie? Because we watch a lot of Christmas movies when the boys get home. There's always
Okay, I'm going to give you one, but it's black and white, so it requires some level of intelligence and attention.
Oh, boy.
Okay. It's called Meet John Doe, and it's a combination Christmas movie, journalism movie. stars Gary Cooper. It was made in 1941. I highly recommend it. The whole thing is available on YouTube. So you can watch the whole movie on YouTube. And it's got a very important political message in addition to Christmas.
It was made in 1941. What was the political message?
Well, sort of like what we went through in the previous administration.
Well, it may be important to you. Let's just say it's an important political message to you. What was it in 1941 that this movie, Meet John Doe, I'm curious, based on the time period?
Well, an egomaniac businessman who decided he was going to use the media for his own purposes to take over the country, to run for president.
Is that what the movie's about?
But it's not. No, that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's also Gary Cooper, a hobo who used to be a baseball player.
Okay.
And Walter Brennan's in it, too. How can you not like it if Walter Brennan's in it? You don't even know who Walter Brennan is.
I think I know who Walter Brennan is, but it's not a definite. It's not
But again, I mean, that's my favorite Christmas movie.
Okay.
That and March of the Wooden Soldier, starring Laurel and Hardy, another black and white movie.
Don't know that one either.
What's yours?
I mean, in terms of like a pure Christmas movie, I do love It's a Wonderful Life, and it's an absolute must to watch it every year. You know, what was funny is on Thanksgiving night, it was on all Thanksgiving weekend. You could find it in a million different places on Thanksgiving weekend. So I do like It's a Wonderful Life. I think a very, very funny Christmas movie with Will Ferrell and Jimmy Caan is Elf. It's hysterical. Have you ever seen Elf?
Yeah, I've seen it. Not a big fan.
I don't consider Die Hard to be a Christmas movie. Everybody else does.
Neither do I.
But I love Die Hard, of course. God, I got to think about this. Not a big Home Alone person. I can't even think right now. What other, you know?
I like Home Alone.
Yeah, it's okay. I almost have to pull up a list here, which I'm going to do here, so I can.
Oh, I got one. I got one that's relevant. That's not relevant, but that's modern. And it's hilarious.
What?
One of the all-time funny Christmas movies.
Bad Santa?
The Ice Harvest.
I didn't see that.
The Ice Harvest with John Cusack?
I swear to God, I don't think I've seen that.
Now, that's it. Let's stop the presses. Everybody put their pencils down, okay? You have got to see The Ice Harvest. Randy Quaid is in it. Oliver Platt is in it. It's a Christmas movie. But it is hilarious.
I'm putting it right now into my phone, The Ice Harvest, for us to watch it. Yeah. Okay.
Because I know you're not going to watch the black and white movies.
What?
You're not going to watch the black and white movies, I know.
No, I will. Of course I will. I mean, I watch it. It's a Wonderful Life. The Grinch. The Grinch is a given in our household every year. The Grinch is an absolute given. And then, what's the one with Tom Hanks? Why am I blanking on that one? We watch that one every year, too. That's
Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
Christmas movie?
Polar Express.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's talk some sports and then finish up the show, because we've been going for a while here already. We'll get to whatever we're getting to next right after these words from a few of our sponsors.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This segment of the show brought to you by Surfside DC's Fajita Boxes. God, they are so good. We got it over the weekend. Your favorite spot for tacos in DC now offers up a fajita box, which makes dinners easy, especially this time of year if you've got friends and family members over at the house and you want to feed a large group. The fajita chicken and steak, so good. The veggies, all the fixings in a convenient grab-and-go box. You can get it on the go. You can get it on your way home. You can order online and have it delivered straight to your door. SurfsideDC.com. This is now becoming a go-to for us when we've got, you know, a bunch of people over watching football like last weekend. That the fajitas are phenomenal. SurfsideDC.com. All right, so Tommy, you wanted to talk about, and I want to talk about to a certain degree as well, the Washington Commanders announcing yesterday that they are increasing their ticket prices by an average of 8.9%. They are increasing ticket prices for two primary reasons: demand and investment. The team has sold out six of its home games so far this season, which speaks to some level of demand. More on that in a moment. And they've poured $40 million worth of upgrades into FedEx Field, not to mention they paid $6 billion for the franchise. The reaction from fans wasn't overly positive. The timing of this isn't great, obviously, for an announcement about increased ticket prices. But you have to do it now, Tommy, because you've got to get these people renewed. You know, it's a process that takes time, and you got to get it started. And then you need to know where you are by the time you get to the end of January with renewals. So, the franchise that is 4-9 and coming off two games where they've given up 90 points in a season which we discussed the other day as one of the worst in franchise history, they are increasing their ticket prices. You say what?
Well, this is awfully bad news to Giants, Eagles, and Cowboys fans, right? Very bad news for them. Since they're the reason that the prices are going up. Apparently, since demand is one of the things that is driving the price increase because of the sellouts exist because of the opposing fans.
Yeah, that's the demand.
I mean, this is double down on balls right here. First of all, to brag about the sellouts and then saying our tickets are in such demand, we're going to have to raise our prices. That's really that's a double shot right there. That's a lack of reading the room. I don't know what their finances are. Maybe they should have picked up another couple of billionaires on the bus while they were driving around the country looking for people to buy this team. But really, it's a tone deaf, foolish situation to do it this year, you know, of all years. I mean, you do it. I mean, after you've hired a new coach, a new GM, after you've done that the following year, I can understand this. But this year, it's a big cesspool as we've seen in a while. And then you raise tickets. Foolish move. They must have to. But look, the one thing I might want to point out, on your show earlier this year, Howard Eskin, the Philly media guy, said that Josh Harris will raise ticket prices.
He did.
Says that's what he does.
He did. Yeah, he said that he's going to look for every possible way to extract revenue out of the fan base. Howard Eskin, not a big fan of Josh Harris. There were other people in that market that I had on that.
But he hasn't had to deal with Dan Snyder. So,
yeah.
I mean, you have to. You always have to temper everything with what the alternative was that people have been living with for decades. I don't mean to disparage Josh Harris's 10 years ownership. I think this is just bad timing for this decision. I think they could have waited a year.
Yeah, so a couple of things here. First of all, the timing of it just is bad. I don't know what kind of rollout of this information was, what the other options for it were. Because, again, there are, renewals that they got to figure out, and then they've got to go, their marketing strategy is based on probably how many seats are available. I think the idea to kind of present it as demand is really kind of a misread of what we all understand the demand to be, and that is the demand from opposing fan bases other than the Arizona game. The Arizona game was a total one-off in recent years, and it was a celebratory mood, and it's the reason I predicted in my mock schedule they would open up with Arizona, because Arizona was the only fan base on their home schedule that doesn't travel. It's not they weren't going to bring a lot of fans. So every other, home game, the Bills, the Bears even, the Giants even. I mean, everybody was surprised at how many Giants fans were at the game. Obviously the Eagles, and then the Dolphins fans took it over. So it probably should not have been presented as we have, overwhelming demand, and so we're going to take advantage of that. You don't have overwhelming demand. You don't have overwhelming demand from the fan base that is super happy that Dan is gone, super curious about what Josh Harris will be as an owner, but intrigued and looking forward to it, but are still waiting on a couple of big things. The steps towards winning, meaning who are they going to hire? Coach? Are they going to get rid of Ron Rivera? We all know they are. The name, big effing deal for a lot of people, the majority of people that have identified themselves as hardcore fans over the years. And by the way, a stadium, at some point, progress on a stadium. These are the things kind of in order. Certainly the winning and the going towards winning is the most important. Because look, here's the bottom line. If they end up winning, that they won't have to worry about the demand because they'll have season tickets sold. And like a lot of places in the NFL, it'll be with their fans owning them. Yes. Because opposing fans don't buy season tickets to opponents' stadiums. They just buy the one game. But so I have a problem with them presenting it as demand. But overall, Tommy, I know that this is a pretty significant hike. It's not insignificant. It's not a 3% across the board, which, really tends to be not noticed by most. This is going to be noticed by most people who are season ticket holders now, or who are people that are thinking about being season ticket holders. But my overall, view of this is what I said when they got the team, and that is, thank you, Josh Harris, Mitchell Rales, Magic Johnson, and all of the investors that ended up paying $6 billion for this team when nobody else was willing to do it. And so without them overpaying for the team, which they did, we might still have Dan Snyder. We may still be going through the process of will he or won't he? Will they, will they vote him out or won't they? He wanted $6 billion, and there was only one group that stepped up and paid it. And then they had to make the stadium safe enough for people to even go to the games. And so they had to spend $40 million to do that. I think from their standpoint, I raising that kind of money to buy the team wasn't easy, and they've got to start to recoup and put themselves into a position where they can operate the business that they want to operate. So I understand that part of it. The last thing I'll just say is there is a part of this that I think has to do with trying to keep opponents' fans out of the stadium. I think they're just as upset. Let me just say, they are much more upset about it as an ownership group than Dan was. Dan didn't care after a while. He just wanted to sell tickets. He didn't give a shit who was buying them. But I think this group, you know, they knew about the problem, but the fact that the problem has continued this year and they've been witness to it firsthand, they don't like it, and they'd like to, you know, for Philly fans and for East Coast fans, Giants and Eagles fans in particular, FedEx Field's really easy to get into from a price standpoint and has been, whether it's the price in general or the aftermarket price. So they'd like to, with the aftermarket price, perhaps make it a little bit more difficult on that, you know, sort of broker customer arbitrage situation. And so I think maybe some of it might have to do with that. It's hard to explain that, I think, in a press release, but I don't really have a problem. The timing and citing demand as if it's their own fan base's demand is, you know, a little bit of a miss for sure. But I can't look, I'm not a season ticket holder, so those that are
right,
have a bigger gripe than I do based on the price. But go ahead. What were you going to say?
I think if they put out a press release telling fans that in order to try to keep opposing fans out, one of the things we're looking to do is raise prices so it's more difficult for them to get, I think people could swallow that a lot easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think that could be something that, you know, they could at least swallow instead of, oh my gosh, our stadium is so hard to get into. You know, we got to raise ticket prices. We got to capitalize on the demand. You know, it's a bad advice.
How
long do they live on? I guess, you know, it could be years. You know, it's awfully difficult to really objectively cover this team now as opposed to before, because, you know, they're saviors. And who are you? Who am I to criticize saviors?
Well, there's a honeymoon period. We acknowledge.
Well, I know there's a honeymoon period, but with Dan Snyder, a honeymoon period should probably last 10 years.
It should last a couple.
Yeah. So, but this is a bad move. This is tone deaf for when everything about what they need to do right now is to win back fans and show them that they're different. You know, this is not show them that they're different.
Hey, don't.
This is not a win back fans move.
Don't ruin my trip to Tahiti with my wife on my honeymoon right now. We're enjoying ourselves. Stop with that. All right, we're fine. You know, we'll pay a little bit of we'll pay a premium to go on that beautiful boat ride. We'll pay the premium for that incredible restaurant. We're enjoying ourselves, Tommy, right now. We're doing a couples massage tomorrow. That should be really relaxing. Don't ruin it with season ticket price talk. You know, all they have to do, seriously, if they never want this to be an issue again, is just start winning. And then they will have season ticket holders. They won't have to worry about stadiums being taken over. And if they're winning, people have proven in the past they'll pay anything for a winner. And, of course, some of the other things that we've mentioned as well I think are very important, and I think they think they're important as well, too. We'll find out what happens with a lot of that stuff in the off season. But, yeah, I actually think that the honeymoon period for some is just focused on, well, they didn't have time to do anything with the football team. Let's give them until next year. For me, it's... And I've said this again, and I'm going to repeat it. Nobody else was going to pay what they paid for the team. Nobody. The other offers were way short of this offer. And who knows what would have happened had they not gotten to this price. And so, thank you, Josh Harris, and the saviors that came around at the right time when he was actually willing to listen and maybe forced to listen.
Does that absolve them of every move like this that might be bad form?
For me, it absolves them of this. I would have recommended, had I been in the room, is there a way that we can wait on this? And, oh, by the way, we shouldn't say demand, because pretty much anybody that's paying attention understands that the demand is actually not coming from your fans. They're coming from the opponent's fans, fan base. So, but, you know, in terms of actually increasing the prices, they spent $40 million. It's not peanuts to make sure that no rail came down on the opposing quarterback on his way out of the stadium. Now, we still had some issues with
keep the hot water on.
We still had some issues with the water and the fire alarms.
Yes.
Yeah. What else on this?
By the way, the score this weekend will be 27-10. Commanders lose.
Well, they are a 7-point favorite, a 7-point underdog to buy. Buy is a 7-point favorite over the Commanders this week. All right, enough of the comedy. Let's get to a few other things to finish up the show.
You hear that, people? Kevin says enough of the comedy. I think that's why you're buying this, for the comedy, baby.
27-10. Okay, ha ha ha. They're not playing this weekend. We're back after these words from a few of our sponsors. All right, Tommy, tell us about Shelley's.
Well, you know, you talking about Surfside got me thinking about food, good food. And, you know, next Monday night on the 11th, my wife and I are going into D.C. We're going to the National Gallery of Art, and then we're going to the Christmas Market in downtown D.C.
That sounds like fun. You know,
yeah, and we're going to be looking for a place to eat dinner. So we're heading to Shelley's Back Room, where they have specials every day, great food, great menu. And today's special in particular, I think, would be really good for some people. They have a blue cheese chicken sandwich, grilled chicken breast topped with blue cheese and sautéed mushrooms on a butter toll brioche bun, served with mayo, lettuce, tomato, onions, fries, and a kosher dill pickle.
Sounds
That's pretty good right there. That's just one of the things they have on special today at Shelley's for $14.95. You can find out more at shelleysbackroom.com, and I'll be there next Monday night eating their Monday night special, probably, 1331 F Street Northwest.
Great idea. And you know what? You guys are going to have a little holiday night in town. Enjoying the holiday.
Yeah.
Will you get by the Ellipse to see the National Christmas Tree?
You know, we went to the Christmas tree lighting last year. We got
I remember that. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was okay. It was freezing cold that day, I remember. And you have to get there early. And you have to sit there for a long time until they actually light the tree. And then they light the tree, and then that's pretty much it. So I'm not a big fan of the National Christmas Tree after last year.
We did several years when the boys were young. We would do the National Christmas Tree, and then we'd go to like Old Ebbett, you know, which is always so well decorated, you know, for dinner. And we haven't done that in a while. We haven't been quite in the holiday mood that you and Liz are in this year. Maybe we'll get into it here in the next couple of days. By the way, I mentioned earlier about the Steelers-Patriots game tonight having the lowest total in 30 years. I missed on this story that is out there that tonight's game in the in-season tournament between the Pacers and the Bucks is the highest over-under total. It's 5 points higher than any other NBA game in 30 years. It's 257 and a half tonight.
Oh, my God.
So the NBA seems to be, in 1991, the Denver Nuggets, which would have been a Doug Moe coach Denver Nuggets team with Kiki Vandeweghe and Alex English, like those teams were scoring $140 every night. They had a 259 total 30 years ago, more than 30 years ago. What are we talking about? That's 32 years ago in 1991. 257 and a half, and I'm looking at my bookie right now, and they've got it right now. If you want to bet the over, they've got it at 257. MyBookie.ag, MyBookie.com, promo code KevinDC. Man, I might do an over Milwaukee, Indiana, under Pat Steelers parlay bet tonight. That might be my parlay tonight. I don't parlay. I don't put a lot of parlays together. And when I do, they're usually money line parlays. But I might bet the over in the Bucks-Pacers game, watch that, and then watch the football game and root for the over in that game too. I said over, right? Yeah, I like the over in the Steelers-Patriots game. That's 30 at my bookie right now, and 257 is the number for Milwaukee, Indiana tonight in the NBA play-in tournament semifinal game tonight. MyBookie.ag, promo code KevinDC. You've got to put KevinDC in there, not, you know, ESPN 980 Kevin, not Kevin Team 980. KevinDC will get you a cash bonus on your initial deposit. Yesterday I spent a little bit of time on this story that Jeremy Fowler and John Keim wrote. I know you read that story. What were your thoughts on it?
Well, my thoughts were that a lot of it didn't really come off as surprising. It wasn't the typical, Redskins, Commanders, pre-death obit that you usually read. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Before the body, keels over, and there's usually this kind of national story saying, Jesus, it was really bad, and here's how bad it was.
Well, that's the end. Yeah, I mean, keep in mind that, we don't have, the investigative reporters. Why am I blanking? I've had them on the show many Seth Wickersham.
We
don't have Van Atta, Wickersham, and Tisha Thompson writing this story either. So this was more of a football story.
I know, but usually, like, at the end of Jay's era, at the end of the Shanahan era,
right.
there's usually that kind of, right before the axe falls kind of thing.
We've had those stories for years. Yes. Yeah, this was a bit milder.
In part, I'm going to give them credit, because I think this was probably a more functional coaching staff behind the scenes, in part because they didn't really have to deal with Dan as much as the other coaches did, because Dan was so preoccupied sailing the seven seas and avoiding testifying before Congress. So it did not give a picture of utter chaos that these things usually do. But it also reminded me that Ron has a very good relationship with national media.
Right.
That's what it also reminded me of.
Why? So because there wasn't a lot of there wasn't much negative at all about Ron Rivera. Actually, that's not true. There was a little bit. There was the quote where they said that Rivera should have done more, that, he should not have given as much, he should not have delegated as much responsibility to Bieniemy and Del Rio in particular. Here's the quote. The coordinator changes cast a pall over Rivera's future because of how much faith and responsibility he places in them. Several team sources said Rivera defers to his coordinators on decision-making, sometimes to a fault. And here's the quote, Ron needed to take more ownership, close quote. So there were,
Yeah, there were that. And in particular, even though Jack Del Rio is the one who's fired, the damning one is probably with Eric Bieniemy.
Oh, yeah. This story is really, you know, you get the Harris involvement in the at the trade deadline. You get the Del Rio firing. You get some on Sam Howell. But really, if you've read this story, if your big takeaway isn't that the Eric Bieniemy era here in D.C. hasn't been a smooth one, then I'm not sure what you read or what you've been listening to with respect to a lot of us who have kind of talked about. Look, and I said this on yesterday's show, Tommy, Eric Bieniemy may actually be exactly what this organization needed, but this group with Ron still here and kind of the ease in which these players were handled and very much a player coach friendly environment. It certainly didn't work. They haven't won anything, and Eric Bieniemy's got two rings. So I didn't like some of, you know, he's gotten better at respecting our time. You know, some of these quotes about, you know, working too late, working too hard. I do think that ultimately, though, that if you read this, what you understand is that Eric Bieniemy's style has not been the favorite for a lot of the people out there. We saw the beginnings of this during training camp when Ron very stupidly in public said that players were coming to him to complain about Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah.
So when we got it that quickly, we kind of, like I said this morning, we realized after the Buffalo game why Sam Howell was drafted in the fifth round and not the first or the second round, because he takes way too many sacks. And I think we've gotten enough of a sense of Eric Bieniemy as to why Washington was the only team interested in hiring him. It's not that he isn't competent. It's that his style rubs people the wrong way. Maybe not everybody, and maybe they're the problem. Maybe the people who aren't, you know, reacting in a way where, hey, man, whatever you do, I'm all with you, behind you, no matter what you say to me. And he says, he's admitted, I'm your harshest critic, and I will get on your ass, but I also will be there to build you up when you do it the right way. He's not going to be here next year. He's not going to be here next year. And it's not just because of this. It's because they're probably going to hire a GM who's going to want to hire his own coach, and it's probably going to be an offensive coach. And why would you, if you're an offensive head coach, why would you keep around an offensive coordinator, assistant head coach? I don't think you would. You might, but the odds are that you wouldn't. I thought that was the most interesting part of the story, too, by far.
Yeah, it probably was.
Yeah. All right, what else?
I don't think I have anything else for you, boss. I'm going to, go to the cigar store and nurse my sore arm.
I did remind myself
here.
I
think I need to stick to windmills and dinosaurs when it comes to golf.
Well, you certainly can't hurt yourself doing that. That's for sure. You shouldn't be able to. So I did mention at the beginning of the show that I went to the Maryland game, and I said, those that love the Terps talk and they like Maryland basketball talk, I didn't talk about the game. So real quickly, they've had a very rough start to the season, Tommy. This was a team that was thought to be easily an NCAA tournament team. They got blown out by Villanova in one of the ugliest offensive performances by any Maryland team ever. They almost duplicated that, not to the degree that it happened at Villanova, at Indiana in their Big Ten opener last Friday night. And then last night in their second Big Ten game before they play, other non-conference games, including UCLA, by the way, at Pauley Pavilion on December 22nd. They had Penn State, a league game, Big Ten game, and they won last night 81-75 in overtime. And it was a big sort of exhale, thank God you didn't lose this game. They were down 7 in the second half. They could have easily lost this game. Penn State was good enough to beat Maryland, but Jameer Young, you Terp fans know this. Without Jameer Young, I mean, Maryland would be a bad basketball team. You could have said that about them last year. He's that good. He was a preseason Big Ten first-team all-selection. He had 28 last night. Juju had 24 and 15 last night. They can't continue to be a team where two players score and no one else scores and expect to be a factor in the Big Ten and expect to get themselves back into NCAA tournament contention. It is so early in the season. They've played two league games. They're 18 more, plus they've got more non-conference games to go. But they're 5-4 overall. Their net ranking, people, is 185. It was 205 last night. I don't think I've ever seen Maryland with less than like a 65 net ranking. And that's like a bad year for Maryland. They've been to the tournament, what is it, 8 out of the last 9 years or whatever? And so they got a long road ahead of them to build that net ranking up. But all it takes when you're playing in the Big Ten is, you know, a win over Purdue or a win over Michigan State or Illinois. And all of a sudden, you know, that you're right back in the mix. But they have got to get somebody else to step up. And I think it's got to be Dante Scott. I was impressed with Jamie Kaiser, their freshman last night. He can really shoot it. He's the one guy that can shoot it. Tommy, this is such a bad shooting team right now that they got to 81 last night because they had 23 offensive rebounds and they got to the free throw line and shot 39 free throws in the game. But if Dante Scott really more than anybody else doesn't step up and become a 13, 14 point a night scorer, somewhere 12 to 14, it's going to be a season which I don't think they'll survive, you know, in the top half of the Big Ten. They were picked to finish, you know, third or fourth in the Big Ten before the season started. And I think Dante Scott's capable. A lot of Maryland fans are frustrated by Dante Scott. I'm not. I think he needs to shoot it better, no doubt. But he's valuable on defense for them. He really is. And I think they're going to need him to step up. And if he does, and you get the freshmen to come along, Deshaun Harris-Smith and Jamie Kaiser, and get some depth. I mean, Jahari Long right now is pretty much, along with Kaiser, the only guy off the bench. They didn't even play Batchelor last night. I don't think they did. You know, they can get back into the mix here. But last night was huge, huge to beat Penn State in overtime. By the way, the kid for Penn State, Clary, who is a sophomore, wow, he's a legit scorer in the Big Ten this year. He's going to be – I don't know if his name got mentioned a lot before the Big Ten season started. He had 25 last night. He's already had multiple games of like, you know, 20, 28, 26. He is a big-time scorer. It was quite the back-and-forth between two lefty point guards, Tommy, scoring point guards last night with Jameer Young for Maryland and Clary for Penn State. But anyway, it's a long season. College basketball changes a lot, and I expect Kevin Willard to get it figured out, and last night was big. Would have really felt awful to be 0-2 in the Big Ten and 4-5. I mean, I can't remember the last time Maryland was 4-5. You know, when your team like Maryland and you're in the, you know, in the top 25 discussion pretty much year in and year out, and you're in the tournament pretty much every year, you usually start every season something like 9-1 or 10-2, or because you've got all these non-conference games that you build up a lot of wins with. They've lost every non-conference game against opponents that, you know, were more their speed. They got blown out by Villanova, and then they lost to Davidson and UAB, you know, in Asheville early. So we'll see what happens. I'm still, you know, relatively, you know, unmoved by the start because there's just a long way to go, and they've got some talent. So we'll see what happens. All right, that's it for me. Did you want to discuss the Wizards anymore?
No, boss. I think I'm all wizard out.
You did a great job today. I will talk to you on Tuesday. No Tommy prediction for the game on Sunday, but he did throw out 27-10 over bye. Goodbye.
Hilarity.
Goodbye back tomorrow with Jay Gruden.